Welcome to I'm Spiritual, Damn It. I'm your host, Jennifer Weigel, and joining me today is a transformational psychic. She's a medium. She knows energy. She's intuitive, clairvoyant, clairsentient, claircognizant. What am I missing? Marla Fries, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks. Oh, my God. That's the first introduction I've ever had with all the clairs.
Right? I don't know that I used all the clairs, but you do pack a punch with your multi-clair options, so I didn't want to leave anything out. Am I missing any, you know, sort of, because you do so many different things, it's important for the listeners to know you have options.
Well, thank you. Yes, our listeners do have options. And thank you so much for inviting me, Jennifer.
Oh, my pleasure. So we got to meet in person when I was out in Los Angeles, and what I loved about the way you work, first of all, I do research on the people that I talk to before I talk to them, just the journalist in me can't kick it out of me. But what I liked so much as I go through this journey and see people who are sensitive and intuitive, everybody works differently. And for you, as you were sitting with me, I could tell that some stuff was downloading, I guess you'd say. And as it was downloading, you were deciding what you could share with me. So explain to me and to the listener how it works for you. Are you seeing movies play out? Are you feeling a sensation? I know that emotionally you can tap into some things when you're you know, speaking to some spirit that's on the other side. So explain to us what happens for you.
Well, I think the best way to describe it is there are a couple of ways. First way is, I want our listeners to think about what they were doing for breakfast this morning, how they made breakfast, what they had, possibly who they even talked to, whether they turned on the TV or not. Those things happen to me, but they're not my memories. They're someone else's. So when I start tapping into information for you, I can see things like that, but it's not my stuff. It's your stuff. Dead people also show me things in that way. Yes, I see movies. Yes, I hear conversations. I also feel things in my body that are related to either the person I'm sitting across from talking to or a deceased loved one who wants to make sure. I was sitting in a group the other night, and I took my shoes off, and I grabbed my toe, and I was like sort of like playing with my toe. And I looked at the group, and I said, I have my shoes off and I'm playing with my toes. Who is this? And the woman that I was speaking to said, well, you know, my dad, who you were basically talking about, used to do that too. And I said, well, I think I've got your father and I think he's playing with my toes. So that's part of it as well.
Nice. So when you're talking to a spirit, you're doing your mediumship. Tell me how much of this is also psychic, predicting the future. Do the loved ones on the other side have opinions about the clients that you're working with and their choices that they're making? Or is that just a separate channel altogether? Not the dead people, but some psychic information that's coming through you from source?
Well, that's an excellent question. First off, I'd like to say that this is really good PR for God, which I call the larger consciousness system, because I've been working with a physicist, Tom Campbell, and he really likes to describe God as a computer, and we're in a virtual reality system. And if God is a computer, then we're the avatars. So this God consciousness, this larger consciousness system, is so absolutely benevolent. When someone needs something, it is delivered, not necessarily in the way that we want, but what is actually best for them. And that's kind of how I work, because my intention is to give you something that is for your greatest good. So when a deceased loved one comes in, they come in with, it's like a thin slice moment of emotional, physical, verbal, everything that is in that combination. Sometimes it's the past. They want to give information about the past. Sometimes it's the present. They were with you when you were at that Italian restaurant the other night ordering garlic bread, and you sent it back because you didn't think it had enough garlic on it, or futuristic things. So I can literally feel the difference between the deceased information and then a spiritual consciousness that wants to give you information for your highest good about medical things. Sometimes it's about when I work police stuff. I often get the dead people, but sometimes I'll have another deceased detective or some forensic person show up and give me information.
So even when we're dead, we're still working?
Well, let's just put it this way. whatever, that's kind of funny, but whatever is the information that is best for the situation. But when, I mean, I feel the split between a deceased loved one and also some sort of information that I might not even be understanding what the source is. The source is always benevolent, and it always comes from this holy spiritual consciousness that I work with. But there is sometimes information that is pure psychic. And that happens to do, you know, there's some things that are on my website where I'm just feeling things in my body that are of the structure of the house, the nature of the person's well-being or their health. I will just steal that information that is supposed to be downloaded to you for your highest good.
Right. There's a great clip on your website where you walk into the house of Harry Hamlin and Lisa, you know, Renna. Harry and Lisa. Yeah, yes. Lisa Renna. Love those two. But, you know, Harry right out of the gate is, you know, resistant. And you're picking up on some of his traits right there. And it's just like you're feeling it, you're sensing it, and you're reflecting it right back to him. It was really powerful.
Well, thank you. Well, I'll tell you what happened prior to that clip. I walked in the door, and immediately I felt Harry's father, who had had a heart attack. Now, of course, we film these things, but half of the stuff that we film and we do when we do a reality show like that doesn't end up on TV.
Sure.
So I specifically said when I walked in the door, right in the atrium, I said, oh, my goodness. I think I've got somebody here who died of a heart attack, and it was Harry's father.
Wow.
And I was also pointing down the hall, talking about Harry's office and how messy it was. They didn't use that clip. So when we moved into the living room, Harry was always a little agitated about what was happening.
Oh, sure. Right. And we don't see all those layers. We don't see all that backstory.
No, we don't. And the other thing that happened when I was sitting there is the key element. They really wanted to know about their store, Belle Gray.
Right.
Well, I had also told them that they needed to let it go. And then there was a piece that they did not show on the actual show, which was I told them, you have to let this go because you're going to lose a lot of money between August and October. But by October, you will have lost a significant amount of money. And they were robbed three times.
Oh, jeez. So that brings up a question I have for you, Marla, about free will. And can we really predict things that are already on a trajectory to become a reality? Because I truly believe, though, as humans, we do have this free will where at any moment we can take a sharp left turn or get on a plane, go to Jamaica, and just change whatever might be predicted for us by someone in your field. And yet you saw that happening. And then as everything moved forward along the same vibration, it wound up happening. So,
well, Jennifer, this is an excellent question. I think the nature of that is most of your listeners might know, well, I would say that they probably do know this movie. It's called The Dead Zone with Christopher Walken. Do you remember that movie?
Yes.
Well, there's a point in that movie called The Dead Zone. This is why the movie was, you know, developed. Stephen King wrote this. But there was this element when Christopher Walken is trying to tell the father of this boy who was going out to play hockey on the ice, do not go, do not go, do not go. There will be something very tragic happening. He saw the boy fall into the water in his hockey outfit. And as soon as the little boy heard this, he went, Dad, I'm not going. And then Christopher Walken takes the hand of the boy, and he didn't see that anymore. So there's a place, a space in between where, yes, something can happen to change that. Now, it did not happen for the other boys in this movie. They did fall through the ice, but this little boy didn't go. So I do think that we have this opportunity. There wouldn't be any reason for me to say, listen, you need to get that right rear tire fixed before you go on the trip.
Right. Because, somebody might have some karmic lesson with a flat tire, and yet at the same token, your guides could be guiding somebody, you, the collective you, could be guided to a Marla reading where Marla says, hey, change your tire. And meant to be.
That's exactly right.
Right.
You know, this is a perfect example to share this with your listeners. You know, sometimes I'll get medical information. A number of years ago, and actually this is in the book, my first book that will be published by next year, mm-hmm. and I hope to come on your show and talk a little bit about it. But now, I just signed the contract. So, but there is something that has to do with medical information that I'm able to give it to some people, and I'm not able to give it to others. So I saw this woman, Pam, and she was sitting there, and every time I looked at her, there was a shadow over her breast. So when she got up and she was walking across from me, I grabbed her arm and pulled her down. And I didn't even know that I was actually doing that. It was just automatic. And I said, listen, I really don't know how to say this because I'm not too worried about it, but could you tell me when your last mammogram was? And she said, actually, it was 2 years ago. And I said, well, it's probably a good idea that you go in. Well, she was in first stage breast cancer.
Wow. Wow.
So it was just there. It was, they needed me to tell her. She went, she had it handled. That was fine. But, you know, a couple of years later, I'm on the phone with a girlfriend, very close girlfriend. And she's asking me, you know what, Marla, I really appreciate it if you could tell me why I keep coughing. Mm-hmm. Now, what I saw in my consciousness around her when I asked was a black wall.
Ooh.
And all I heard was this, tell her to go see a different doctor. Mm. And when I told my friend Diane this, she basically said, oh, I just hate doctors. I mean, I hate going to see the one that is giving me all these inhalers anyway. And I said, well, the important thing is that you have to see a different doctor. Mm. Well, she waited 8 months. And she called me 8 months later, and basically, she had fourth stage ovarian cancer.
Oh, no.
And as we processed this, it was devastating. Mm-hmm. And as we talked about it, and we worked on this for months afterward, but she said, you know what, Marla, I get it. She said, I know that I have to move on. Mm-hmm. If I don't move on, my family won't grow.
Right. Interesting.
And yeah, so there is this.
And by moving on, you mean like dying, like moving on to the next.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because even with great loss comes great growth. And people hate to hear that all the time. But I know for a fact, had my father not passed away from a brain tumor, I would not be interviewing you right now because I would have had no curiosity about the afterlife. Why would I care? I would have been doing my job at CBS as a news anchor. Everything would have been fine. But that wasn't my trajectory. I was meant to have these deeper conversations to pull back the curtain on what's going on. And even with great tragedy can come great gifts. And you had a tragic childhood that I think probably contributed to these gifts. Yes.
Well, yes, I had an abusive situation with my mother, interestingly enough, mm-hmm. that really heightened my sensitivities. And, you know, there are some people out there that are walking around very wounded from their childhood, but they're also hypersensitive. That's kind of the terminology that people are walking around as they call themselves empaths. Mm-hmm. Well, that's because you're so sensitive. Your heightened sensitivity has probably come from something that made you empathic. Mm-hmm. But if you're an empath, you literally have to get boundaries. You have to do the work in order to heal some of the stuff that made you so empathic in the first place.
Right, right. And some people have to experience the worst things possible so that when they are working with people and you are having conversations with others, you can be empathic to their situation and having been through it yourself.
Well, right. And empathic is actually compassion. Mm-hmm. And to be empathic is a wonderful trait. But to be an empath, the way that people have been, you know, sort of tutelizing, do you like that word?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Self-proclaimed empath. Here we are.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, when they don't understand that they need boundaries, mm-hmm. they're talking about how they can't be in crowds and they're talking about how hypersensitive they are around noise and certain feelings. Well, it's a hard life to live when you're like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you have to do the work. You also have to get into some form of a structured experience, whether it's with a teacher or in a circle, to find out, are you a medium? Are you a psychic? And start channeling these situations so that you have context to them. You know, I will talk about mediumship in a second, but there's really only one place that I believe as an experiencer that I have gotten the greatest help And that was, you know, at the Monroe Institute, which is the largest, well, it's basically the largest center for advanced understanding and learning of altered states of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And we're talking without the use of drugs. So this is with brain entrainment, and it really helps people hone their skills. But you ask about the, you know, sort of the tragic childhood, but mm-hmm. I mean, it was a Norman Rockwell existence, with the exception of my mother's personality disorder and my father, even though I loved him dearly and he was a wonderful man, his alcoholism. Mm-hmm. And this is part of the codependent template of a lot of empathic people, where they have some form of drug addiction in their family and they become codependent.
Sure.
So I'm really suggesting that if anybody finds themselves needing some assistance around this, to start working on it. And there are great books from other writers out there, other, you know, and you know this because you've been working with so many of these people.
Yeah.
But I wanted to mention the mediumship thing. Talk about a wacky experience. I didn't even believe in this.
Right. I mean, you were born again Christian for a while. That's not exactly acceptable at church.
That's right. It wasn't.
Right.
And, you know, and actually, it was because of an accident, a horse accident, where after I was saved, that I really felt as though Jesus saved me at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I literally heard a voice that saved my life. And so that was the voice that carried on through some of the organized religion. And then I started to understand that if Jesus was really Jesus, he would save everyone. We wouldn't just be members of different sects, that mm-hmm. you had to be card-carrying club members. Jesus and his consciousness was available for everyone.
Yeah, and that is the greatest disconnect in all of our organized religion. And how do people receive that when you tell them this?
Well, you know, it's kind of weird because when people finally end up seeing me or coming to me, mm-hmm. a lot of them have been struggling with this organized religion dilemma for them.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they have watched, and thank God for like the Long Island Medium and John Edwards' show, and even James's show, James Von Prague's show, Beyond.
Mm-hmm.
They got this ball rolling so that you see that it's not some archaic, weird, seancey thing. I mean, I work in the broad daylight. I've worked in barns. I've worked in gas stations. I've worked in Arts Deli here in Los Angeles.
Right.
I've worked, you know, I can work anywhere with this because it is not something that we're conjuring. It's information that is available to all of us. It's just how we have to move out of our own way to hear this incredible information, as you well know.
Right. And the information is available to all of us. And that is where I think a lot of disconnects happen with our religious texts, thinking that you can only get it through Jesus and through this church and through, like you say, this card-carrying member. I spoke with a Lutheran pastor who spoke very honestly about how he believes that if you really translate the Bible, which, of course, was, as we mentioned when we met in person, it's been chiseled onto templates for hundreds of years, and I'm sure there's some stuff that's lost in translation because nothing was digitized back then. It wasn't even written down. It was just told from person to person, and people
right,
have their
story.
Own, you know,
yeah.
They have their own filters for that as well. And just come to my house at Thanksgiving, it's like a bad game of telephone. But, you know, over the years, these Bible verses have been translated and mistranslated, and what this pastor told me, he said that, you know, the Corinthians is all the gifts of the Spirit, and, you know, greater gifts than these you will have, greater things than these you will do. It's all empowering ourselves to find the, quote, Jesus within, the God within. Do you believe
yeah.
that in all your years of doing this work? Is that what you think is really going on?
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. And you beautifully talk about it in the preface of your book,
mm-hmm.
Psychics, Healers, and Mediums. I just love that. Yeah. I'm in the middle of the book right now, and it's one of my favorite things that you say at the end of your preface. And you just can't make this shit up.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, when this started happening to me, believe me, I sought the help of clergy.
Mm-hmm.
I sought the help of therapists. So the book that will be coming out and available
mm-hmm. in a year,
probably it will be pre-order available probably by this early fall,
mm-hmm.
but the book will be out by May of next year. But it's broken down into two different parts.
Mm-hmm.
And the first part is when we're sort of blind to all of this stuff. We're blind to what's happening in our lives. you know, I have a marriage that blows up that basically kicks off me writing this material because I'm like, what was I doing? What was I thinking? I sort of went dormant mm-hmm. to the training I had. I was listening to spirit, but I really wasn't listening mm-hmm. because I wanted things my own way.
Right. Yes.
Well, it just doesn't work out that way. So, but the second half of the book is really when I learn in my young adult life to start to heal the challenges that I had in my childhood. I started going to therapy. I started researching. I started learning. And it was when I started taking responsibility for my pain and healing it that all this insight started to come.
Yeah.
And this is when, you know, you say the painful things that happened in order for us to, you know, wake up. I was stalked by someone.
Oh, dear. That'll wake you up.
That was the most bizarre thing that could have happened mm-hmm. because when are you walking around going, oh, I think that, you know, there's a stalking coming in my life and it's going to scare the crap out of me.
Right.
And because of that fear, I'm going to start talking to dead people? I don't think so.
Right.
But it was literally a dead person who came to me to help me out this con artist.
Ooh.
Have me go to law enforcement, mm-hmm. put him in jail, and, you know, bless that boy's heart because he basically was emotionally troubled and needed probably some medication. And that was the blessing that, you know, basically had me start talking to the dead people.
And you're very passionate about working with the law enforcement, too. Do you think part of that is because of what you dealt with in your own situation?
Absolutely. That's mm-hmm. exactly how it came about. Because I literally went to law enforcement to talk to them about this stalking incident. And I was sitting with this detective, and he had a picture on his desk. And I picked it up and went, oh, this is a homosexual rage murder. And he said, what? And I said, well, oh, I'm sorry. This corpse is burnt. I can see that this guy took him home like a trick. And, yeah.
You saw the whole murder go down. There goes the episode of CSI. It's just been solved.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah,
exactly.
But I mean, that's an incredible party trick to pull that one out. I'm sure they were like, "What?" And then you can help law enforcement. That's huge.
Right. Right. I love it. Yeah. love it.
So does it ever scare you? Does any of this stuff ever, you know, just to look at it and have that neutral, because you know there's technically no death, so to speak, because it's just like going to another suite in the building. Do you ever get frightened by your own gifts?
No. No, although there was a time about 4 years ago when my cat was alive and we moved into a new apartment after the divorce that I went through. And it was a brand new apartment. And we heard this noise in the living room. And I had just gotten one of those, fortunes from a Chinese fortune place.
Mm-hmm.
And the fortune said, you will experience a... I'm sorry, I'm just laughing about this. You will experience a close encounter of a serious kind.
Mm.
And I thought, wow, that's really interesting. And I heard the noise in the living room, and I looked at the cat, and I basically said out loud, hey, listen, I just moved in here. You know, don't bother me between 12 o'clock at night and 7 o'clock in the morning. Well, I went out into the living room, and what was knocked off my credenza was a movie. Now, mm-hmm. I had, you know, stacks of movies on this credenza, and the movie that was on the floor was Close Encounters of a Third Kind.
Oh, jeez. Awesome.
So what had happened was there was a message that had been on my phone that I was ignoring. It was a friend of mine who actually needed some help.
Mm-hmm.
She lived outside of Los Angeles, and she said, things are going on inside of my house, and I need some help. Well, I had ignored that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the next morning that I got a call on my phone. It was probably 4:51 in the morning with static on my phone. And when I hung up, it was my girlfriend. And I knew that it wasn't her calling me. And I called her at 7 in the morning and I said, did you really have to dial me at 4:51? And she said, I didn't. And I said, well, check your phone. Her phone was in her purse on the back of her of her office chair, and she had dialed me, but it really wasn't her. It was her mother's energy, and that's who I needed to talk to out at that house.
Wow.
It was the anniversary of her mother's death, and she wanted to talk to her daughter. So I drove out there, and we had that experience.
That's incredible. So there can be unfinished business from their side as well if they think that we have not moved on or healed on our side?
She absolutely. You know, mm-hmm. this is perfect. Gosh, you're coming up with the greatest questions. It's like you're intuitive or something.
I must really be passionate about this stuff. Jeez.
I know. You should have a radio show. Oh. You should have a television show. Oh, my gosh. Here it goes. Okay, so cool. There is pressure sometimes. I am pressed to do things, just like that woman was demanding that I speak to her daughter. Mm-hmm. Now, things do happen through the electronics. That has happened. I'm also pushed to certain stores or certain places, certain venues where I am to meet someone. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, it is the intention of someone making, wanting to see me or be in a group. And these groups are curious because they're usually set up by one individual. And then at the last minute, someone cancels and another minute, another person shows up. That's the person that's supposed to be there. So I have to keep trusting this stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's the point. Trusting this stuff, even for someone like me who does this for people all the time, I have to do this for myself. And I don't always trust myself the way I need to.
Oh, you mean you're human? Jeez, Marla. Whatever.
Oh, right. Yeah,
jeez.
Exactly. Yeah, I know.
Let me ask you a question. Hold on a second.
Like the divorce. Like the divorce.
Should have seen that coming, psychic lady.
That's what people say. Well, you know, they warned me. They warned me. They warned me. They warned me.
And also with free will, though, things could have turned either way because there's two parties involved. There's your life. There's his.
Well, he wasn't behaving in a good way. That's why they ripped me out.
Oh, I see. Gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the other thing. Like you say, you get these little warnings, these little whispers, these little winks, these little mentions. And we want to just believe the best in others or believe it's not happening to us. So we do look the other way. It happens all the time. I see the smartest people I know in business might have the worst relationships emotionally. It's just incredible where our blind spots are. But I'm curious. Go ahead.
You talk about your knowing. Yeah. I mean, your curiosity around this led you to a whole different life. Mm-hmm. But your own knowing, even as we were sitting there, you know, underneath this umbrella at this wonderful hotel in Los Angeles in near Beverly Hills, your knowing was also kicking in. You were also getting downloads.
I see, and this is so new to me, Marla, because I've been interviewing people like this, but my belief is that we're all born with a sort of sense of intuition. It's just at different levels, and you have to build the muscle to work it up to develop it more deeply. And I've been very dedicated in the past couple of years to working that muscle on a daily basis and really trying to tune in and trust and listen and sort of just get connected as best that I can. And that still small voice, as Echo Bodine calls it, like a bird flying across your car.
That's a wonderful way of describing it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just like that whoosh, and it comes real fast, and that's your intuition. And whenever that happens, I try to listen to it. And whenever I get a good feeling, I try to go with it. But I'm really curious to know what your thoughts are on manifestation, because I've interviewed a lot of people in this space and in the woo-woo space, as we call it. Some believe you can manifest anything you want, and some just believe there's a, you know, greater good kind of going on, and sometimes what you think you want isn't what you're going to get because of other circumstances. I'm wondering where you fall on this one.
Well, I couldn't have said it better.
Yeah.
Because you just said it.
Yeah.
You know, some of the things you want isn't really, you know, the
what
way
you
it's
need.
Supposed to go.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's kind of like that marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I prayed a lot. First off, I do believe in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer, meditation, intention. Those three things are the same thing to me. Mm-hmm. However, if you're praying for something to go the way you want, that's mm-hmm. probably not the best way to approach a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
The best way to approach a prayer is, what is the best for me? And most of the time, we're so blind because we're frightened. We don't know what we're doing. We're asking for assistance. Well, that's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
We are led to people. We are given messages. We sit beside somebody on a bus, and somebody starts talking about a cardiologist they just messed up with. And you go, oh, my God, that might be something I need to do. I might need to see a cardiologist. Not in a neurotic way, but also we'll find out what that doctor's name that person had a problem with,
mm-hmm.
so that you possibly don't use that doctor. It's various things like that. I walked out of my apartment yesterday, and a woman said, you know, the last time you saw me, you had no idea, of course, that I had a stroke. Mm. And I said, no. So she began to tell me this whole process. And of course, last night I shared it in a group. I don't know who it's for, mm-hmm. but I shared that information because that came to me. Mm-hmm. And it was so odd how it did. And you know, that bird that flies over the car, that sensibility inside of me is kind of like, ooh, I'm not being hit over the head saying, listen to this, although right. that has happened to me. Mm-hmm. It was like a bird. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I just noticed this. So in reference to all of this, my intention is from my soul. It's from my spirit. It's from my heart. Mm-hmm. If I want something from a deep intention, and also, you know, I didn't even believe in higher selves until I actually was at Monroe and had an experience talking to someone who was taller with a better outfit that I was wearing that was me. So she sat down with me and she said, you are my greatest purpose. Mm. And she had this wonderful conversation with me, which was incredibly empowering. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the essence comes from a consciousness that is much more powerful than our own little ego.
Right.
So when I wanted the best thing for myself, even my husband at that time, probably the best thing was for us not to be together any longer.
You weren't bringing out the best in each other anymore.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and the higher self piece is so interesting too, Marla, because trying to explain that to people who don't know the concept, I say it's sort of like Gen 3.0. It's like if I'd gone to Yale and gotten a PhD, it's like your best version of yourself on all cylinders. How would you describe the higher self to those who have not heard that term before or are not familiar with talking to their higher self or even know that they have one?
Well, that's the interesting thing about this. I mean, people had said this to me and I thought, higher self. I'm just trying to get to know the one that I have here.
Right.
But I think that we are a part of this God consciousness. We are a part of a framework that is bigger and more expansive than we can even articulate. So there's a part of me that is connected to this God source that is always there. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say I have been split off. I don't think that that's the right terminology, but I've become physical in this physical form. My consciousness is in this body this time around. Mm-hmm. And this consciousness is still connected to source. So this higher self is like having your very, very, very best friend looking out for you.
Right.
You can call it a spirit guide. You can call it your astral body, but it truly is part of you. And once you get into dialogue with that and you're sort of comfortable with that, then the idea of communicating with deceased loved ones, with the God consciousness in some form, mm-hmm. with even with other entities from possibly other planets, other places,
right.
that also gives a context because I always feel safe, and if I don't feel safe, I ask for help. I ask for protection. Mm-hmm. That's all there is to it. I trust that.
You work with a lot of people in the scientific community, in the medical community. To those who are complete cynics or skeptics that this is even a possibility, I always say, well, you're not exploring what the brain is capable of because we use about 4% of our brain on a good day if we're lucky.
Yeah.
So what do you say to those cynics out there, not just skeptics, because I think it's good to have a healthy sense of skepticism to weed out the bullshit artists, but for those who are cynics and completely shut down or those who are just stuck in their world of the medical world that they know, what would you say to them about the research that you've learned over the years to help them better understand what's happening with all of this?
Well, honestly, until someone who is skeptical has their own personal experience They're just not going to get it. Like, believe me, I was highly skeptical of people talking to the dead. Mm-hmm. And I actually went to see James Van Praagh because I'd been watching him on TV. And I thought, oh, come on, you know, mm-hmm. he's got a prompter, somebody's talking to him. And then I went to see him around the corner at a hotel with a large group. And this is when this was all sort of starting to happen to me. And I didn't really even believe in it. Mm-hmm. So I went to see James, and I was so moved that I came home, got down on my hands and knees and said, listen, I don't know what this stuff is about, but mm-hmm. I am so deeply moved. You know, help me with my stalker and help me understand this. And this is when this benevolence started happening. Mm-hmm. Actually, I ended up in James's house, and I was a volunteer for him for 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. So I was put in this situation to have expanded awareness, be in a class. While this was all happening to me, this universal consciousness, this God consciousness was so benevolent with me that it helped me in this way. Mm-hmm. So until one of these people out there in the scientific community has some form of an experience, they will continue to feel skeptical. Now, just to tell your listeners, I've been working with Tom Campbell, who is a NASA, U.S. He worked for the defense system, and he basically was also one of the people that helped Bob Monroe develop the brain entrainment back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. So he was having altered states of consciousness while he was training and becoming a well-known physicist. So he was doing both sides. So he has had this awareness, and he's really one of the people that made the paranormal normal for me, along with a group of people who were more helpful than clergy and even therapists when this was happening to me. And that was the military remote viewers.
Now, this is huge. If you haven't heard of remote viewing out there, people, the military funded operations to train people to literally sit in rooms and try to find the terrorists, the bad guys in other countries. Am I correct? This has been going on for decades.
Well, yes, it was going on between the 60s and the 90s. It was mm-hmm. being funded. It first started at Stanford Research Institute, mm-hmm. and they developed a protocol called controlled remote viewing. And there was a psychic by the name of Ingo Swann, who was the father of all of this. He developed this protocol for these men and women who are highly intuitive. Actually, it's because Joe McMonagle, who is considered, well, his number was number one remote viewer, but there were a number of men that were involved in it, including Lynn Buchanan, who I trained with. Mm-hmm. But these men and women were picked because they got out of situations. Sometimes they had head injuries. They were really aware. They had protocol that determined who these people should be, mm-hmm. and they were invited into this program. Mm-hmm. And these people worked between the 60s and the 90s for our government, doing this sort of psychic spy work. Now, there are people that can be skeptical about that. I don't care. It doesn't matter anymore. This has been proven over and over again. You can look up these men. You can talk to these men. You can be trained by these men.
Right.
And even though Tom Campbell wasn't one of these remote viewers, when he has a workshop, the second day of the workshop, he basically teaches remote viewing and has people, you know, remote view what is in the box. Mm-hmm. Or what he was doing in his room 10 minutes before the workshop started. Mm-hmm. So he basically makes it so simple for people. And when these other physicists, and I don't know whether they're JPL or a Rockland or whatever those companies are out there, mm-hmm. when they come to listen to Tom Campbell, they are moved because they have had an experience where they basically remote viewed something and they think to themselves, oh my God, this is real.
Right. What did I just do?
Exactly. So right. they become very interested in this. And sometimes they go to Monroe and they train, or they train with one of the, you know, the people that have left the military. Mm-hmm. But this remote viewing stuff, it proves that you're more than your physical body, that your mind can go to some place and download information and bring it back to you. Actually, I work with a program called the Applied Precognition Program, which is wagering in Vegas on football games and baseball games.
You're teaching people how to win.
Well, it's a fabulous practice to think, mm-hmm. you know, and everybody's involved in money,
right.
but not everybody is involved in using their intuition or understanding that their consciousness can do things like this.
Right.
So, you know, it's purely education, mm-hmm. Jennifer.
It is.
It's educating yourself about these things because it's out there.
It is.
You know, try not to be skeptical. Be curious.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's what I say. Ask more questions. That's how we get more information.
Yeah.
And so
exactly.
For the people that are listening at home, what's a tip for them to start to help build up this muscle, to just sort of open the pathways? I was speaking with a friend yesterday, and she was complaining about how her daughter's going through a really tough time, and she just feels like she can't get through to her. She can't do anything. No matter what she says, it's just met with resistance. And so I said to her, before you go to sleep, picture your higher self talking to her higher self and sending as much healing as possible through that consciousness. Because if your lower self is not working, and I didn't know what else to tell her, but I walked away thinking, maybe that wasn't such a bad idea.
So. No, it's a fabulous idea. It's wonderful. And actually, Tom Campbell talks about that all the time.
Okay.
He used to, before he got really, 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 really busy, he used to do that all the time for people. And having the intention before you go to sleep to assist somebody that is not in your physical world right now, that not in your house, but someone who might be across the country, sending them love. Look, love is really the answer. Mm-hmm. The resonance of love can heal so much. And when you work with this larger consciousness system that I call God, when you access that larger consciousness system to work for you, it's about right resonance. Mm-hmm. It's about helping you get right. And the point is, you ask for a tip. When sometimes people have to get sick. Sometimes people have to get divorced. Some people have to move things out of their life so that they are not perseverating and being neurotic and being in mental patterns that are so destructive for their soul.
Right.
They have to get away from that stuff. Also, drugs and alcohol. I'm sorry. You know, it's fun to have, you know, a glass of wine once in a while, but that dumbs you down.
It
doesn't keep you sharp. It doesn't keep you focused. I don't drink anymore mm-hmm. for that particular reason.
It dulls
and
your gifts.
It dulls you.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing about it is, one of the things is, start paying attention to how you think. And this is what I leave with your listeners.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing you do is pay attention to how many times a day you lie.
Mm. Yep.
And write it down.
Mm-hmm.
That makes you pay attention to your own thinking and what's coming out of your mouth.
Right.
And I love going into the shower because that's where I get a lot of downloads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
allowing that water to go over top of you and listening to what you're hearing
mm-hmm.
and paying attention and writing it down.
Right. You mentioned James Van Praagh, and one of the things he mm-hmm. told me, if there was one thing he could leave with everybody, because it's just an important thing to remember, is if you walk around unconscious, which most of us do when we're zoned out, right? Just walking. Mm. I'm looking down Michigan Avenue right now outside the studios here. And so many people just wandering and zoning out, which is good, right? That you've got to kind of unplug. Mm. But what James said is, if you walk around unconscious, you have no idea how much you could be a magnet for dark, negative thoughts, energies, etc. It's like taking a clean lint roller and rolling it on the carpet with that person who's got 12 cats. You know, it's just, that's what you are attracting into your field unconsciously. And that will make you sick and make you depressed and bring you down and deplete you. And so if you could take a light shower, you know, he said, set an alert on your phone and just rinse off all of that sludge and picture it going down the drain into the source for healing. But just get it all off, you know, all the sludge. And, you know, like you're a shiny, clean car that just went through the car wash. And I think about that all the time. And I do a little kind of, oh, I'm glad that James gave me that nugget of wisdom a good 7 years ago, whenever that was, because it's one that's really stuck. And another one is Paul Selig. You said you're halfway through my book. Paul Selig is chapter 6.
Mm-hmm.
And we had him here in the studio. This was a gentleman who was a professor at NYU for 25 years, got his master's at Yale, and became a channeler. And he says, look, I'm not an author. I transcribe information that comes through me. And
right,
his voice
exactly.
changes and his eye colors change and all these things. But he says, look, love and fear, the guides tell him, cannot yeah. coexist. They cannot.
Right.
And
right.
so if you're ever in fear, which is lying, right, any sort of non-authentic exchange, you're in a fear-based place. You cannot be in love. And love is the only thing that takes you back to source. So you're kind of
right.
disconnecting from source anytime you go into fear and anger and hate. And I try to remember that they cannot co-reside. And so it's hard, though. Being human is really exhausting, Marla.
Yeah, it's really, really hard. But for your listeners, you know, it's what you're not aware of, you can't change. Mm-hmm. So the awareness has to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. And we have all had lots of flashes of information and intuition. And I know that there's people out there. I didn't know whether we were going to talk to anybody or not, but I just wanted to say hi, especially to Chicago, because I lived there for 8 years. I love that city. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to come back, see you in person,
yes.
See a number of my friends there. But Chicago is a very interesting experience. You have the lake there. Mm-hmm. You can ground yourself by walking along the lake. Sometimes when it's warm, you can put your feet in there and ground yourself. You have the beautiful, beautiful parks. You can go up north to be in the woods. You can ground yourself, and that's one of the key elements. And also salt baths, that's really wonderful. But it's all about the intention, just like you said.
Yeah.
Taking a light shower, intending for this to come off of you. Taking a bath in salt, that actually has the opportunity to change the positive energy, which we don't like on the body, the positive neons, ions. We want negative ions, actually. It's kind of counterintuitive. But the negative ions from the earth and from nature is what we really need. Mm-hmm. And it's crucial. But what you think, your energy follows what you think, as you know, Jennifer. Mm-hmm. So I don't want horror. I do love thrillers. I'm very particular about the news. Mm-hmm. I don't have regular television. And we have to keep ourselves awake. And that means turning off the television so that we have this connection to source.
Right. And that is so true. Thomas John, Manhattan medium, said to me, you mentioned the shower, and I was talking about the light shower. He said, intuition is like singing in the shower. Some people are really good at it, and some people suck, but anybody can do it. So,
well, I love that. Thank
so
you.
Start practicing, everybody. If you're in the car, you know, wait a second before you look down at your phone to see who texted you, and just think if you can get who texted you. And if you go and doze off, set an intention before you doze off. Have an intent in your sleep. Have an intent when you step out of bed. Have an intent when you get into the shower. Have an intent before every phone call, every meeting, every exchange you have. Ask
a heartfelt, loving intent.
Correct.
A heartfelt, loving intent. Because if you use anger, if you use negativity, if you use power to disrupt things, mm-hmm. you know, karma's a bitch.
Right.
So things don't move. Things don't move in a proper fashion for you, of course, unless you have to have that lesson. And those lessons are very powerful, and sometimes they're painful.
Mm-hmm. And that's what Rebecca Rosen told me. She said, mm-hmm. what's one thing you're absolutely sure about? And she said, accountability. That whatever you mm-hmm. put out there is going to come back at you in a boomerang fashion in some
right.
way, shape, or form. So be cautious and really conscious about what you put out there. It's really,
and
really
that's
important.
That's what the dead learned. Mm-hmm. That's what the dead have learned.
Yep.
It's in taking responsibility. And that's the key here for us. Even when we're frightened about people who are bullying us or talking poorly about us, we must bear witness to that pain. Mm-hmm. And writing the manuscript as I did, there are elements in there. Yes, I talk about my mother, but she was really quite troubled. But she was the greatest gift that I could possibly ever have. But I had to bear witness to it, and I had to talk about it, and that's how I healed it.
If we don't pull back the curtain on these wounds, they will keep going. My friend John St. Augustine says it's like you can mow the lawn and just cut the weeds, but if you don't dig under or get at the root, they're going to keep growing back. So
right.
you have
Absolutely.
To go to the weed. You have to go to the source, and that's what you're talking about. It's not dwelling on it. It's acknowledging it. It's going there, and then you move through it, and you get past it.
Well, the thing about it is, when it's deep like that, mm-hmm. it can be something, you know, historical, maybe even a past life. But when you've got it in this life, mm-hmm. you've either chosen it or it's chosen you. And that is something that once you take responsibility for, wow, I picked these parents.
Yeah.
Wow, I picked this life. Okay, let's make the best of it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely make the best of it. And get off the sofa, open up a book. call a friend, go to some sort of, whether it's a teleconference or it's an in-person experience where you get to hear somebody speak, intention that you're getting help and it will be given to you, and say yes. Mm-hmm. You know, put the no on the back burner. Say yes. Say yes to your life.
Marla is Marla Freese, MarlaFreese.com for her schedule, her events. Have her come to your living room. Get her book in 2018. There are a lot of things coming up, and you want to be in touch with Marla and where she is. Thank you, Marla, for doing what you do.
Oh, my pleasure, Jennifer. Thank you so much. You are so intuitive yourself. You're so wise. You're so conscious. And I'm so grateful for you being out there. And thank you, listeners.
Oh, my goodness. Stay spiritual, will you, damn it? Thank you.